Let's pray. Lord, this is your word that we have heard read. It is your eternal word, unchanged and unchanging. Help us receive it as your word, to believe it as your revelation, understand it by your spirit, and embrace it by faith. This we ask in Jesus' name for your glory and our good. Amen. Well, as we've said, the Bible's big story, the broad sweep of the Bible from the beginning through to the end, is a series that we have just begun. And we're not going to cover everything that's in this book. We couldn't if we tried. And we're going to miss some things out. I hope we don't miss out your favorite stories as we go. But we're going to be dropping in on significant moments, on characters, on twists in the tale as we go through. And last week, we read the story of Noah and the floods. Such an unthinkable, different experience for us to try and get our heads around. We saw God's pain over human sin. We saw God's provision of a way out. And we saw God's promise, I will deal differently with sin from now on. And today we've read another pivotal moment in this story of the Bible. We meet Abraham. He's called Abram in this reading, but later in chapter 17, his name is changed to Abraham. And we read about Abraham's encounter with God. And it's a story which I hope we can all relate to. Because the whole reading from Genesis 12, verses 1 to 9 that Iris read for us just there is all about a journey. It's about traveling, moving from one place to another. And we all know that experience, don't we? All of us came here today. We have a journey that we know well. But the story of Israel, the story of the Jewish people, God's chosen people, is traced back to this moment when Abraham heard this call of God and listened and heard. And God's promise to Noah that he would deal differently with sin from now on is beginning to be worked out in the life of Abraham and God's chosen people in this reading. Now, as with any good story, if we could have the PowerPoint open, Sahel, any good story, there are characters that we can identify with and other characters perhaps we react against, but we learn a lot in this story about God. We learn about the God that we read here is a missionary God. He takes the initiative to be involved. He calls people by name. He sends people out to be a blessing, not only to their family and their friends, but to all peoples on earth. That's what Abraham is promised. And ultimately, through Abraham's descendant, Jesus, this promise comes to pass. But God's plan, even here at the very start of the story, is to deal differently with this mess that we've made of things. God is a missionary God. But the focus in Genesis chapter 12 is on the human responses to the missionary God. And I've called this sermon All or Nothing. All or Nothing. Now, Jacob and Abigail and I have been watching a TV program called All or Nothing, Manchester City. I don't know if you've come across this yet. It's a documentary. And the documentary makers followed the Manchester City football team through last season, the season where they won the Premier League, they had a record number of points, record number of goals, and the program follows this team through the whole year. And there are thousands of hours of footage that they took during the year on the pitch, on the training ground, in the changing rooms, even in the players' homes. It's a real insight into their life, into the story. It's summarized down into just a few hours, a bit like we're doing with the Bible's big story, summarizing a whole year of this football club in just a few hours. And I want to show you just a few seconds of the opening sequence of the first episode of All or Nothing, and then we'll see what relevance it might have to today. So we're going to play this and just watch the first part.
Today I didn't see the desire to win. Today I didn't see. Some of you play better when you're angry with me. So if you hate me, guys. No trouble at all. station. Every single day. You have to be there ready. I know your quality is there. I know you are talented, man. But to become a top top team, you have to learn to play football with courage.
To become a top, top team, he said, you have to learn to play football with courage. I wish I had his accent. It sounds better when he said it. You have to learn to play football with courage. It's a great story. It's a really good story. There is passion. There is drama. There's joy. There's tears. It's life. And you see inside the lives of these football players for just those few moments. But actually, as I've been watching that, the title, All or Nothing, has really struck me, because there is so much pressure on these sports players, on this manager, to perform, to win or lose. And if you lose, you are nothing. If you win, it's everything. This huge pressure, go big or go home. And it's there in the title of that show. But actually, it's not particularly realistic. It's overly simplified, isn't it? All or nothing. Because in reality, as human beings, we're very rarely all, and we're quite rarely nothing. We spend most of our time in between, don't we? And actually, most football teams spend most of their times in between all and nothing. Our Bible passage this morning, I'm going to ask this question. Is this all or nothing? As we prepare for our communion this morning, we're going to consider some of the human responses we see in this passage to God, summarized by these three words I've got on the screen there behind me: believing, settling, and wondering. We see those three things in this passage. And they're not neat categories, they're sort of broad outlines. And as we look at these, as we ask, is it all or nothing? We're looking at people who are believing, people who are settling, people who are wondering. And as we look at each one, I want to ask you to think, where am I in this story? Am I one of these three responses to God today? What is God saying to me this morning from this passage? So in Genesis chapter 12, it's on page 13 in the church Bibles, if you want to follow it with me as we go through. And the first of these three things, we see that there are people who respond believing. God said to Abraham, go. And Abraham went. Sometimes we make things too complicated, perhaps. But God said, and Abraham did. As we saw with Noah last week, Abraham heard God and obeyed. Verse 1, you see the detail of it. God said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. God's calling Abraham to leave the comfort and the familiarity of home, to leave it all for an unknown destination. And in verse 4, Abraham responds. So Abraham went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Maybe a note there for some of us who might think we're a bit too old to be used by God. Abraham was 75 years old when he began this mission. God heard and Abraham heard and responded in faith to God's call, and he believed the promises that God had made him. We see the promises there in verses 2 and 3. They're sort of in three parts. Abraham is promised a land to settle in, or make you a great nation. He's promised that he would become his name would become great. He would have many descendants. He would be blessed and would be a blessing to others. Three blessings which correspond to the three sacrifices that Abraham is called to make. And as I've said already, these promises ultimately are fulfilled in Jesus. They're fulfilled in the person and the work of Jesus. And we see that because while there was partial fulfillment of these promises in the land of Israel, Abraham himself didn't live to see that. God promised Abraham a land, but Abraham died owning only the tiny burial plot where his wife was buried in the land of Canaan. So believing, as demonstrated by Abraham, is walking by faith. It's trusting in the call and the promise of God. It's even when the circumstances look impossible. That's what it means to live believing. It's more than words, more than words spoken or words sung. It's a costly commitment. Abraham had to leave behind much that he loved. It's a risky decision because Abraham didn't know where he was going to when he agreed to go there. Believing means this kind of whole life, costly, risky response to God. Because as we see before us this morning, the God who calls us, the God we're believing in, is a missionary God who makes a whole life costly, risky commitment to us. And you know, yesterday I was in one of the local shops just around the corner here, and the lady behind the counter said to me, "Can I ask you a silly question?" And I'm always up for answering silly questions. So I said, "Yes, of course." And she said, Do you really believe in God?" And she knew where I worked and what I did. And she was fascinated to know, do I really believe in God? It's intriguing, isn't it, for people who don't share that faith when they see people who are believing. What does it mean for me to reply, "Yes, I do believe"? Well, for Abraham, it meant leaving behind. It meant going. It meant risking. And as we think about what it might mean for us, and as we look at the story of Abraham, maybe we feel a bit intimidated. Abraham is this amazing figure, this wonderful, faith-filled man, and he's got so much more faith than me. I couldn't possibly do that. Well, if we had read on past where we finished, we would read about Abraham later in chapter 12. And he makes a huge, huge mistake. He lies about who his wife is to try and save his own skin. We see quite quickly that Abraham is not perfect. Abraham is not all. Abraham is not the ideal figure. Just as we saw last week, didn't we, with Noah. Not all or nothing in Abraham's life. But maybe it's helpful, because we might be intimidated by these Abraham and Noahs of the Bible, to tell a story of somebody more modern, who I think encapsulate what it means to be believing. And some of us were here yesterday for a Thanksgiving service for Sheena Raxter, who was a member here for many years. And she, in the time of her life, when many people, she took early retirement, many people would have been settling down and just enjoying their early retirement. And Sheena felt that God was calling her. Actually, she felt him calling her twice, and she ignored it. The third time, she thought, "No, I need to do this." Calling her to become a foster parent. And she said yes, and she applied, and she did the training. And Sheena and John were asked to foster two teenage refugees from Afghanistan. And they took in these two boys, and they gave them a wonderful, loving home, and they just did a wonderful job. And it was because they felt that God, in Jesus and the parable of the Good Samaritan, that God calls us to love our neighbors without restriction. They felt that was what they were being called to do, and they did it. Costly, risky, whole life, more than words, believing. That's the response that God called Abraham to. It's a response that Jesus calls us to. But often in our failure and our weakness, we might feel we have nothing to offer. And that's when we need reminding, as we come to our communion service today, that before Jesus calls us to go, he calls us to come. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary." You come to Jesus first, and then he sends us. Before Jesus says go, he says come. And I wonder this morning whether you feel yourself in this category of someone who's believing. You've said yes to God. You've heard him call you. And you maybe feel that you don't have the strength to do what he's called you to do. Well, this invitation is for you to come and receive from him this morning. The strength for the all that he calls you to is not yours, but his. So that's believing. Secondly, settling. Abraham's father is mentioned in chapter 12. I have to be careful what I say about fathers because my dad is here this morning. But Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, Abraham's father is mentioned, not by name, but if we go back into chapter 11, if you look just up the page, chapter 11 and verse 31, we see that Abraham's father was called Terah. And I don't know if you know the story of Terah. The story of Abraham is quite well known. The story of Terah is maybe not so well known. Well, we read about Terah in that passage just there at the end of verse of chapter 11. Terah lived with his family in the city of Ur. That's in modern-day Iraq on the river Euphrates. It was a culturally well-developed place. It was a centre of trade. We know from archaeology, manufacturing. It was famous for its worship of the moon god. But for some reason, in verse 31 of chapter 11, Terah decides to leave Ur and to take his family and to go on a journey. And this is what I want to emphasize. If you look at chapter 11 and verse 31, and let me read it for you. It says this: Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. You see, Terah sets out to go to Canaan. Now, if you look at chapter 12 and verse 5, you read about Abraham, the son of Terah. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they accumulated, and the people they'd acquired, and they set out for the land of Canaan. So the father and the son are on the same journey. They're going to Canaan. What's the difference? The difference is that Terah never arrives. Terah never gets to Canaan. At the end of chapter 11, verse 31, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah got as far as Haran, got sort of halfway, and then stopped and settled. And we read in verse 32, Terah lived 205 years, which is a good age, and he died in Haran. Isn't that interesting? He never got to Canaan. Now, we can't read too much into this, I know. We don't know why Terah got up and left Ur. Perhaps it was because God called him to go to Canaan. Perhaps he just decided it'd be a good idea to try out a new place. We don't know. But he set out to go to Canaan and he never got there. Perhaps because he gave up. Perhaps because he despaired of finding this place he was looking for. Perhaps because he got distracted by a better offer in Haran. Well, we don't know. But maybe this morning we can identify with Terah and his experience. It could be that we began a journey of faith like Terah. We made a commitment to Jesus. We had enthusiasm and passion and we were on our way. And then somewhere along the road, we left that path. We got tired, maybe. We found ourselves settling. Settling for less than the best. Settling for less than God had called us to. Maybe we found somewhere that looked more attractive. An alternative that looked easier. Somewhere that looked more comfortable than what God was calling us to do. And we settled. And in the, I don't know if you heard that video at the beginning, but one of the things that Pep Guardiola is saying to his players is, some of you have lost the desire. Some of you don't want to win. And maybe we're a bit like that. We've lost the desire to go on, to push on, to learn more, to grow more. And we're settled and comfortable where we are. Maybe that might not be a physical place. It could be a mental place. Settling for patterns of behavior that we know aren't God's best for us. But we've got to here and we've settled like Terah. And the lesson from Genesis 12 about settling for less is that by doing so, you rule yourself out of God's promises. By settling, it means that we rule ourselves out of God's promises. You see, Terah never reached Canaan. So he never experienced the blessings that God planned for his people. He never knew the promises made to Abraham. He settled for less and missed out on the best that God had planned. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But if you don't come to me, I can't give you rest." If this is you today, could it be that this is the day that God is wanting to call you to restart that journey? To get up from the place you've been in for too long, this metaphorical harem that you've been in, and to take a risk again, to come to him at this communion table and ask for a fresh start. Because here's the good news, the really good news. Chapter 11 and verse 32 hasn't happened for us yet. We are not yet in the place that Terah was, because we still have time. We still have life and breath and strength to say yes to God, to respond to him, and to believe. Terah's response highlights a temptation to settle for less than the best. There is one final response that we see in this chapter, which is wondering. Believing and settling. There's one more response. This isn't the only response or the only responses that are possible to make to God, but these are ones we see in this passage. I wonder if you noticed, as Iris was reading, Abraham's wife. She's there in verse 5. She's only there once. Just mentioned in verse 5, Sarah. And Abraham's nephew, Lot, is mentioned twice in verses 4 and 5. But these people are not the focus, are they, of the chapter? The spotlight is not on them. But let me read verse 5 one more time. Abraham took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they'd acquired, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Now Sarah and Lot set out on this journey with Abraham. They were physically present. But I wonder how much say do you think they had in this matter? Were they even asked, consulted, invited? It's unlikely, I would say. Those on the edges, the women, the young people, perhaps swept along by others who had louder voices, who were much more pushy. And if you know the rest of the story, you'll know that both Sarah and Lot have significant parts to play in the drama that lies ahead for this family. But I think they remind us of those who are left out of the big decisions, maybe because of age or gender or ethnic background or language, those who feel like we're being carried along by others. Reminds me of a trip I took on the 29 bus. You remember the 29 bus before they got rid of it? And I was down there on Quinton Road coming up here to church, and we got onto Harborne Lane, and there'd been a crash and the police had closed the road. And so the bus was diverted. And so we headed off up Metchley Lane towards the hospital, and I'm sat on the bus thinking, I was going over there. And now I'm up there by the university, and I don't know where this bus is going anymore. And I'm being taken somewhere that I don't know where we're going. And the driver wasn't great. He didn't really tell us what was happening. Anyway, we got there in the end. But that feeling of being taken somewhere that you didn't really decide you wanted to go, a helpless passenger. And maybe in the characters of Sarah and Lot, we see something of those who are wandering, carried by others, perhaps invited to church by others, and not quite sure where they are themselves. Those who are also perhaps wandering with an O, not an A, doubting, questioning. Perhaps you're here physically in church, but you are wandering. You've been on a journey that has left you bruised and hurting. You wonder where God is in all of this. Others around us might seem so sure, but we're wandering. We're not so sure. Maybe I'm not sure if I am believing or settling or wondering or something else entirely. And Jesus says to us too, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And so this morning, if you know yourself to be weary and burdened, if you are carrying a heavy load, then why not take up Jesus' offer today to you? What could there be to lose? Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are wandering, and find rest. And so I wonder if you can see yourself in this story this morning, in the believing, not just words spoken or sung, but in costly commitment, in risky decision making, ready to go when God says go, ready to play with courage, as Pep said at the beginning. Jesus says come before he says go. So come to him now. Receive from him strength for your believing. Maybe you feel you are settling. You know yourself to be settling for less than God has called you to. And know that by settling, you're ruling yourself out of the promises. So come to him this morning and receive his promise again. And if you are wondering, well, I'd be happy to talk, or one of our deacons is happy to talk to you, to pray with you after the service. But hear again the words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. So we have believing and settling and wondering. And as we go through this big story of the Bible, actually we're going to see that a number of characters that we find here are believing, and then they're settling, and then they're wondering, and then they're back to believing again. And the journey that they take and the journey that we take may well take us across these boundaries. And we may have moments of great belief and moments of great doubt. It's not all or nothing for us. But wherever you find yourself today, this is the invitation to the communion table that Jesus sets before us. And this is the amazing news of this meal. That Jesus, when he was faced with this question, all or nothing, he uniquely in the path of human history gave his all that we might come even with nothing and find rest and hope and future. And that's the promise that we hold to as we sing, "In Christ alone my hope is found."